This morning's reading is from Psalm 85, and it can be found in the Pew Bible on page 595. You showed favour to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Amen.
Each week, or most weeks, we think of a word that's related to the scripture. It's just that this week, the word we're thinking about isn't actually in the scripture, but it forms part of it. As the psalmist wrote, he then paused. He then said, Selah. It's a term which is actually slightly unknown. No one's quite sure what it means. It could be a musical term. It could be employed simply as a pause, as if you were reading something in prose or poetry or a psalm. But it means something else. It means pausing and waiting for the next chapter to unfold. Selah occurs 74 times in the Old Testament, mostly in the Psalms, but also in Habakkuk also. But there's something about pausing and waiting for that next chapter to unfold that we can take for our lives and for our engagement with God. What does God have next? Is it more of the same, or is there something else? Because we each need to go on, to step forward, to experience more. And so when we look at the word Selah, which may or may not appear in the Pew Bible, remember that God is saying there's another paragraph, there's another chapter. There's something else to be said, there's something else to be done, there's something that involves you if in wisdom you follow Jesus, if you believe in God. And so be open to that word Selah and what it might mean for you, what it might mean for the church, what it might mean for all of us together. There is a next chapter, a next paragraph to be known. School seems distant to me now. Further education, more recent. Despite that, I remember school days well. There was that feeling of trepidation at the prospect of moving up to high school, all without the aid of induction days. There was that nervous tension at sitting exams, never mind awaiting the results. Cross country was to be avoided, if possible, school dinners tolerated rather than enjoyed, and a variety of teachers, each having their own influence for good or bad. For anyone facing anything like that now, take heart, as well as courage. You're not alone, and you're not the first. Of course, arguably, the most important part of schooling involves subjects. Where once in primary school there was one teacher in one classroom, high school brought multiple varieties of both, all involving finding your way around unfamiliar corridors when the bell rang. For me, there was English and maths, nothing surprising there. In first and second year, a general mix of all that you would expect, before third and fourth year brought its own specialisms. Physics, engineering, science, geography, technical drawing, and Latin. Don't ask me why. Added to that was art and arithmetic. Somewhere along the way, French was dropped and history was overlooked, all of which in retrospect I might have changed. Now, I find myself back in schools, both primary and secondary, all in a way that I couldn't have imagined then. But one thing hasn't changed. Despite all of the subjects available, there's space for one more. Wisdom. It's not taught in school. In fact, it's not taught anywhere particularly these days. Not in our culture. We live and learn, of course. Mistakes are made along the way. And sometimes we have those metaphorical bruises to show for it. The adage, of course, is older and wiser. But that's a rather haphazard, optimistic approach to something that's really quite important. In that regard, at school, I needed extracurricular activity to assist. I remember the Gideons, and still have the pocket-sized New Testament that they gave out. I remember a group of Christians who ran a Friday night youth club on school premises and how they exuded a loving presence that ensured a great atmosphere week by week. Thank God for them, as well as for my favorite maths teacher, who too was a Christian. As for chaplaincy, less so, as I recall a distant robed figure on the assembly hall stage. I hope and pray that I can do better in my role now. Wisdom is what we need. You can gain all the qualifications at school and in the world, yet without wisdom they will lack. That's why Psalm 85 caught my attention recently. Think of wisdom literature in the Bible as it's known, and you'll be directed to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, or Solomon, as well as Job. But the Psalms also must be included. Read through them, and every human experience and emotion will be encountered, as well as responses to them. This actually is where education begins, but not just in school. When it comes to Psalm 85, we begin to learn some basics. First, there's a need for reverence. We're not alone, and we're not left to our own devices, much as we might believe that to be so. Biology might tell us one thing, but Psalm 85 points us in the direction of a maker. But we're more than a manufactured product. Instead, we're made in an image. And to truly understand that image as well as its purpose, we must look to God. More than that, acknowledge Him. More than that, worship Him. More than that, praise Him. More than that, find ourselves in Him. And more than that, live our lives for Him in the knowledge and experience of who He is. But Psalm 85 speaks of restoration. The need to revere God is part of a process of recognition, realizing the distance between us and seeking to close the gap. By ourselves, we can't. But through Jesus, we can. Trusting in Him and receiving His forgiveness. The way of salvation that God has made for each and everyone to find, accept and share. That forgiveness is also what Psalm 85 mentions. And taken together with reverence and restoration, something happens. Love and joy are known. Love and joy are given to us. They sweep over us. They overcome temptation to be down, to be negative. Instead, they turn hopelessness into hope. And they turn any situation to one that can be overcome rather than instead overcoming us. In the midst of that, there's something else to learn. And that is that God is multifaceted. His love endures forever, as the scriptures say. But He has the capacity for anger. Yet not entirely as we understand it. God's anger is related to justice and fairness. Sin seems too short and simple a word to adequately describe, when in fact everything and everyone has been tainted by the separation it brings between us and the one who made us. If and when God is angry, it relates to what has been stolen, the original intention of creation. The original intention of all that has been created. The original intention for the world. The original intention for you and me. In that context, people have gone astray and gone their own way. That's what Psalm 85 reflects. But more than that, it reflects the recognition of it. And the seeking to make some form of recompense. That's where wisdom comes to the fore. Godly wisdom, to be precise, enables us to recognize what God has done. There may have been anger, but there is a love that passes all understanding. That love revealed through Jesus, the Son of God. A love proclaimed in the New Testament, particularly in the letters of Paul to the Ephesian and Philippian churches. But then wisdom takes us a step forward. God is not just seeking our forgiveness, He seeks our revival. The reviving of every aspect of our lives, our personality, our capability, our outlook, our demeanor, our move from selfishness to selflessness. And as if that's not enough, wisdom reveals to us the implications beyond ourselves and our own generation. For God seeks to work in each generation, bringing blessing much rather than a curse. And so our response in wisdom enables the response of God. It enables the response of others in future to be that of good rather than evil. For yet again, the receiving of wisdom unveils the unfailing love of God. It would be all too easy to go through life oblivious to it. But in Christ, as a Christian, this can be known. Yet Psalm 85 speaks of more than the salvation experience. The psalmist fully expected to listen to God and for God to speak, to pay attention to his ways, his timing, his intentions, his intervention. And the psalmist expected God's peace to be known. Not just a peace that passes all understanding, but a peace which acts as a witness, as a sign and symbol. In a world where peace is so often unheard and unknown. Do that, the psalmist said, and don't regress from it or from him. For then there is a promise that God's glory will be present around us. In our land is what Psalm 85 describes. And that land could be this land, the one known to us, this community, this city, this nation. That's when Psalm 85 provides some practical advice. Combine love and faithfulness, add righteousness and peace, and God's favor will be over and upon whoever that involves and wherever it occurs. That's when a harvest is mentioned. Translated, that means people. People who perhaps know nothing of this kind of wisdom yet, but who could and who can. All beginning with us. Those who already have access to wisdom as God has revealed it. I'm wary of churches where learning is the be-all and end-all. There's much to learn, of course, when it comes to God. But how we learn of him is the key. We need a right understanding of the Father, a right relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son, and a right responsiveness to the Holy Spirit of God. To do that requires wisdom. And that's an education in itself. Let us pray. Show us your favor, O Lord. Restore us again. Reveal to us your unfailing love as we listen to what you might have to say. All as we make our response to you. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.